So the Israelites coming out of Egypt, a mighty hand of God, the waters of the Red Sea parting, wall of water on the right, wall of water on the left, God doing these amazing miracles. And then the Egyptian army pursues the Israelites, the fiery pillar that God had put up to keep the Egyptians back. God removes that, and the Egyptians go after the Israelites in this 10-mile-long part of the Red Sea that was dried by the Lord. And when the Israelites were almost out, and the Egyptians, all 250,000 soldiers, were inside this 10-mile stretch, that's when God just went like this and drowned all the Egyptian army. And so now the Israelites are on the other side. They're in Arabia on the other side of the Red Sea, between the Red Sea and Mount Sinai. They are in Arabia, and they've been traveling now. They left Egypt just under 2 months ago. So they've been in the wilderness 2 months. And that's where we're going to pick it up in chapter 17. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Is it not you that have brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So the people are crying out for water. God had always provided for them day after day after day, especially in the last 2 months. It was in chapter 15 when they were thirsty. God, and they came to the waters of Mirah, that were the waters that were bitter. And they cried out to Moses, and Moses said, "Hey, Lord, we need some water." And the Lord said, "Hey, Moses, see that tree over there? Go ahead and throw it in the water. And the water will become sweet, and they can drink the water." And God provided for them because of their thirst in chapter 15. And then in chapter 16, they were hungry for meat, and God provided for them having meat by sending millions and millions of quail just dropping out of the sky. And so they had their fill of meat by eating quail. And every single day, God provided manna for them. They never had to worry about what they should drink, never had to worry about what they should eat. They had meat, they had bread, they had water, they had everything. And so here now they're ganging up on Moses, and they're yelling at Moses, "Why have you brought us out of this, out of Egypt to bring us in the wilderness so that we may die of thirst?" The Israelites had zero faith. I mean, zero faith. After 2 months of seeing what God had done with all the plagues in Egypt, seeing the waters of the Red Sea part, seeing the Egyptian army drowned in the Red Sea, seeing quails fall out of the sky so they could feed them, seeing God provide water, seeing all this manna from heaven, after seeing all these things, they still didn't believe. And here they're coming to Moses and God providing for them. God's testing them. God's testing them. They were just thinking of themselves. And of course, they in that test, they failed miserably. And yet God still had mercy on them. And it says in verse 4, "And Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod in which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you will strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of elders of Israel." Now, I just want to spend 5 minutes going over some of these verses, because the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 2:16, "Do not let anyone judge you in food or drink, or in regarding to a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." So in the New Testament now, Paul is saying, listen, these things happen. The Sabbaths were a sign. all the festivals were a sign. Everything that happened in the New Testament was a shadow of things to come. Everything that happened, the blood on the doorposts and the lintels, the children of Israel going through the Red Sea, all was a shadow of what is to come. All things that happened were pointing to Jesus Christ. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:1, says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So Paul here using this symbolism, comparing the children of Israel going through the Red Sea, we talked about last week, comparing that with baptism. Now, how did the Israelites come out of Egypt? They only came out of Egypt by one way. What was it? Wasn't by the Red Sea opening up. It was by one thing only, and that was by the blood of the Lamb. And so God told the Israelites, "Hey, I need you to sacrifice a lamb." We talked about a couple weeks ago on the 10th. They kept that lamb on the 14th and slaughtered that lamb at twilight. And so they would take that slaughtered lamb, they would paint the blood on the doorposts and the lintels, and any family that did not paint the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and lintels had someone die in that house. But every family that painted the blood on the doorposts and lintels were covered. They were covered by the blood. And so Paul using that symbolically, this symbolism of just like when we come to Christ, we're leaving our old life, we're coming out of Egypt. How do we come out of bondage, out of Egypt, out of the old lifestyle? Only by one way, and that is the blood of the Lamb. We had the Jesus Christ sacrificed his blood for us. We come out of Egypt, we're born again. We're a new creation created in Christ Jesus. And we are baptized. We're immersed in water, symbolizing the old man dying and the new man rising again. And so Paul's comparing all everything that happened in the New Testament to what is going on in the Christian life today. Paul says in, verse 2 again, "All were baptized into Moses and into the cloud, into the sea." Paul's saying in verse 3, all ate the same spiritual fruit, the spiritual food. And so Paul's saying, yes, they all experienced the miracle of the Red Sea crossing. They all experienced the manna in the wilderness. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:4, "And all drank of that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So Paul's saying, listen, that spiritual rock, that rock that saved the Israelites by giving them water to drink, that rock is none other than Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 7:37, "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' Jesus also said to the woman at the well in John 4, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life.'" So Paul's saying, listen, that rock that was smitten, that rock that was Christ, that rock that was Jesus Christ, once it was smitten, never needs to be smitten again. That's because Christ died once for our sins. And that's where Moses got into trouble later as we get into Exodus. Moses was fed up with these people, the Hebrews. They just had zero faith. They were getting on his nerves. And they were complaining again, saying, "Moses, you bring it out so that we may die of thirst." And he said, "You rebels, must I strike this rock and beat it so water will come out?" Moses struck the rock twice and water came forth and the people drank. But the Lord said to Moses, "Moses, come here, son. You didn't represent me the right way. I didn't tell you to beat the rock. I didn't tell you to strike the rock. I told you to speak to the rock. Moses, you were angry with the people, but I wasn't angry. Moses, you misrepresented me, so therefore you're not going into the promised land." So Moses got into a lot of trouble by striking the rock twice. Our last verse here before we watch the video, verse 7, "So he called the name of that place Massa, Meribah, because of the contentions of the children of Israel because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And so this rock where the Lord tested the Israelites, this rock that gave the Israelites water, this rock that Paul says is Christ, this rock that is Jehovah Jireh, God is my provider. Now, this rock of Horeb, I had it on DVD through, what's the guy we just watched last week? Ron Wyatt, thanks. My head's in a cloud. It's too cold. And, you know, it was okay, but I found a guy that was much more informative. It happens to be a guy from New Zealand. I just saw this on YouTube about a week ago. And I thought, you know what? This is great. It's only 12 minutes long. And he really explains it. Now, it's going to be a little awkward because he's in front of a large church giving the presentation. So when I watched it, I thought, you know, this is three times better than Ron Wyatt's video. Because he was there personally. He has a team. I think he's on the one that does the evidence thing you were talking about. And so, again, the people of New Zealand are very soft-spoken.